On this episode of the AIE podcast,
we have a WoW mini raid wrap up.
Lots of patches in lots of games.
Happy first contact to all who celebrate.
And a happy birthday to Lord of the Rings Online.
And we are chatting amongst ourselves today.
All that and more coming up right now.
Bringing you the latest news from the AIE gaming community
from planet Earth and beyond.
This is the AIE podcast.
Welcome to episode 443 of the podcast celebrating you, the Alea Octa S gaming community. The Die Has Been podcast. I am Makala. To my left and a few states over is Mewcow.
Greetings, guildies, and to the moon with all of you.
Yay!
And
to my right and downstairs is Tetsemi.
Yeah, that die that has been podcast, I'd like to complain about that die.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you're going to complain because, ooh, that die was not kind to you. All right. And this week, we're going to fill you in on everything going on with AIE. So welcome, my friends.
Welcome.
Hello.
All right. So we're going to be chatting amongst ourselves and, spoiler alert, guys, Ted's going to be complaining about his crappy rolls today. We're going to be talking about that in just a little while. But first, let's go ahead and cover this week's news.
AIE News.
And those of you that were live with us will see that our podcast die rolled a one in the very beginning. But
Twice.
Yes, we'll need some bloopers at the end. But let's tell you about those mandatory fun nights. Where the fun is mandatory, but the attendance is not. So, starting tonight in like 20 minutes, Destiny 2 does their mandatory fun night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Then Monday, we have Guild Wars 2 at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Monday also has Star Trek Online at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday is SWTOR's mandatory fun night at 9 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. max, because you just have to do that. There's a bylaw down there.
It's maxatory. Kind of like mandatory, but it's maxatory.
Maxatory, yes. And then on Wednesdays, we have the HFO Mythic Plus Mayhem Tour in WoW at 8 p.m. Eastern. With Mythic Pluses are definitely, right now at least, are way easier than they have been in the past. I think we're just gearing a little faster. So you might want to look into on that, because it's nowhere near as hard as it has been in the past.
Awesome.
And anyway. Friday, we have ESO doing their mandatory fun night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Saturday, we have 3 with Lord of the Rings Online starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Final Fantasy 14 map night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, new raid in WoW at 11 p.m. Eastern.
All right. And if you can't attend any of the maxatory fun nights, you can listen along or stream us on our guild podcasts. And we have a ton of AIE member podcasts. You want to know where to find them? Well, we have them right here. New Overlords podcast with Max and Seema at newoverlords.com. Boards and Swords with Chris and Philip at boardsandswords.com. Dr. Gameology, a.k.a. Dr. Daniel Kaufman at drgameology.com. Star Trek Online, the Fleet Action Report with Grebog and Nicodus at Fleet Action Report on YouTube. And A Podcast Reborn, a Final Fantasy 14 community podcast with Brandon, a.k.a. Old Man Franks, Megan, and Ro, Not Safe for Life, at bonusroll.gg.
They still doing their tournament brackets?
Yes. Yep. They're still going. I think they're still going through that. So I think they just recorded another episode today.
Awesome. Cool. All right. We have not a ton of Nomad news, but that's a little bit. New World will be sunsetting in January 2026. So there might be a going away party before it goes. Keep an eye on the channels and Discord. And D4, there's a new expansion this month.
Another WoW killer going off into the sunset. Speaking of WoW, we have a WoW mini raid wrap-up. So in a raid team news, the Alliance team Hellfroze Over, HFO, defeated final boss Crown of the Cosmos, a.k.a. Zalatath, in the Void Spire. A victory with unexpected consequences, of course. And then Bellerin, the first boss in March of Quel'Danis, both on normal difficulty. Then on Horde side, raid team Kitty Agro is now 6 of 9 in heroic Void Spire, having punched out the double dragons and then sending the light blinded paladin trio bubble hearthing to the Shadowlands where they belong.
Nice.
A new braid completed the first 3 bosses in the Void Spire on normal, and Dankinia's death count is up to 11.
Yep. Is that just last week or so far in the expansion?
No, just the counting is up to 11. Like she just, you know, you just turn the knob up to 11.
Okay, yeah, get it. This one goes to 11. Got it. Okay, yeah, cool.
Goes to 11. And then my own raid team has gotten all of the Crown of the Cosmos stuff done and started on the march on Kael'Dynas without me because I was not there this week.
No.
But we got all the way last week to the 5th boss, and which is they definitely have some interesting mechanics this time around. The first boss basically is definitely their threat to make tank mechanics more engaging.
Yeah,
they need to stop doing that
because you actually have to communicate.
Mm-hmm. It's we don't want to be engaged that way. Stop it. We have enough to do.
Exactly. All right, but the next patch for Midnight arrives April 21st. Where is this year going? Anyway, bringing new world content such as Void Assaults in Eversong Woods and Zulamon, as well as Decor Duels, a hide-and-seek challenge that players will queue for. It's also a busy time for WoW holidays. Noble Garden ends April 13th. Children's Week arrives April 27th. Oh, goody, we can take a child to go PvP, which means which may be as awkward as Outland Orphan Salandria is now an adult NPC in Silvermoon, and volunteer guard duty takes place April 28th. Yes, that's
like,
right.
Are they going to still have her?
The game has been around so long that the NPC orphan you used to take around is now an adult NPC in Silvermoon. Mm-hmm.
And whatever you do, don't take one of those Blood Elf children near one of the new Harrendir children, because you'll just, it's such a stark difference.
It is. Yeah, the poly count's just not good.
Yeah.
All right. And player housing endeavors have been reset. Fortuna now has mechanomes with miscalibrated hens that jump on your head, see Gusty. And Salus has Drakthyr, and Virtus has Ethereals.
Can you spray for mechanomes?
I think so.
Yeah, but you actually have to have like a really high level exterminator.
Exactly,
makes sense. New class.
Consortium won the Alliance side vote, Horde Fortuna has mechanomes. Both got flashy, zappy decor as rewards this season, and Gusty is running around with a malfunctioning mecha chicken on her head, as we said.
Yeah, all three.
Speaking of Gusty, she was lovely enough to give us an update that death count is for raid this year.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Okay. So I do have to give a fun aside before I go into SOTOR. Speaking of Children's Week, back when I was actively playing WoW, I was trying to do Long Strange Trip, and the last thing I had to do was Children's Week. It was the last day, and I couldn't. And I'm not a PvP player, ever. No.
It hit you so hard, you went down.
I know.
So literally, I was like, it's last day. I'm trying so hard. I really want this dragon. And like, I am like throwing, like smacking my keyboard and all this. And I think I threw my mouse, and Ted's like, do you want me to take care of that for you?
Yep.
And when's the last time we touched that dragon, too?
Yeah, totally. But yeah. But still, it was an achievement. Weird. I did one last thing, and it was Children's Week.
Yeah.
All right. And in SOTOR, the Guild has some special plans for May the 4th, including trivia contest and community event. Stay tuned for Discord for dates and times. The Galactic season is bringing back two of the original companions. So if you missed them from Galactic Season 1 and Galactic Season 3, it's now your chance. MFN is on Tuesday. Wow. And everyone is welcome. And we're now calling that Maximum Fun Nights. Thank you very much, Jazz. We appreciate that new name. So that's on Tuesday. We promise no more talk about Peeps or the proper pronunciation in Coruscant. Guys, how do you pronounce Peeps in Coruscant? I need to know.
Maybe like a croissant? No, I don't know.
Peeps, honey. Not Coruscant. How do you pronounce Peeps if you're on Coruscant? Peps? Pips?
Pips.
I don't know.
Maybe with a good British accent.
Perps.
Got it. It is pronunciation of Coruscant. I was thinking, how do you pronounce Peeps on Coruscant?
No more talk about Peeps.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't Chorus know. I think can't. I've always just... Okay. I've always called it Coruscant. Anyway.
So have I. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the day that I was listening to Stephen Colbert, and he said... Melnabone, but he actually pronounced it Melnabone. And I'm like, oh, that's wrong. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Shit, that's right. Okay. Anyways. It's okay. So Gussie says it's croissant. And as somebody who loves pastries, yes, it's croissant. Okay. Back to the news.
Yes. Speaking of which, in ESO, they wanted to let you know that Mandatory Fun Night, or Maximum Fun Night, as it's now called, does still happen on Friday. The group is rather small, but it's still there. So it's like, you know, that the light is broken inside, but I still work. So they're still going. They have all kinds of fun stuff to do. Just, you know, you got to join them. Then we have, that's in 5 days, the next live letter, where they probably talk about FanFest, because FanFest is coming. Mm-hmm. It'll be on the 24th to 25th, and that is in Anaheim. They decided to try the stomping grounds of BlizzCon and take that over for a weekend. So that should be interesting. Unfortunately, I can't go. I really wanted to, but, you know, there's just way too much going on. It's way too much. Yeah. But there is going to be a major story patch at the end of this month on April 28th. So please look forward to it. It is 7.5. And I believe it's called To the Heavens or something along those lines, which we've already done To the Heavens once. So why are we going to the heavens again?
Well, because maybe they wanted to circle around the heavens because they could. And it was really cool.
Yeah, it could be. And they did say that Dawn Trail is basically like 2.0 ARR, like they're starting the cycle again. So I guess 7.5 is leading you into the next expansion, which is going to be the next Heaven's Ward, I guess. You know,
okay.
You know, we're going to go to the heavens again. Okay, cool.
To the moon. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
To the moon. Wait, we've already been to the moon.
Exactly.
And back.
And back.
To the heavens, to the wall. All right. Anyway. And in Star Trek Online news, lots of stuff going on. All platforms, Impressa Lance updates. Damage output reduced, self-damage increased. That's a good thing?
Huh?
What?
That sounds like
a nerf.
I know, exactly. All right. And First Contact Day celebrations, April 7th to May 7th. 20 days of progress to earn the grand prize, the Noble Intel Battlecruiser. There is a low buy sale, which is the in-game currency, from April 7th to April 12th, 20% off all items. And in the bonus mark events, which runs April 10th to April 14th, 50% off bonus for all content that rewards marks. For PCs, Growl Class Command Scout added to the Infinity Lockbox starting April 7th, and they're having a key sale. 15% off keys from April 7th to April 12th. The Keyring Bundle returns as well, includes the Ultimate Tech Upgrade.
All right. And in Lotro news, guys, Lotro's turning 19. It's almost old enough to drink if it's in the U.S., and it's old enough to drink everywhere else. Mm-hmm. The new gifts will arrive on April 23rd with an anniversary event running from April 23rd at 10 a.m. Eastern to May 11. There's been a letter from Orion with updated developed schedules for quarters 2 and 3 this year. Some of the highlights arriving in the near future is new content with updated 48 A Glorious Hunt, as well as Rivendell Housing. A link to the letter is in the Lotro channel. Also, Starry Night Lotro, it will kick back with this upcoming Saturday after an unexpected hiatus. And that is all the news that is fit to read through sometimes badly with sidebars. So guys, what has been going on in and out of game? And I'm going to let Ted start because I know part of that.
Yeah, I need some extra time.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about your dice, Ted.
Yeah, exactly.
So bad.
My dice were just bad. Everything I tried today was a failure. And then at one point, we're trying to stealthily break into this apartment to rescue two hostages. And I rolled a 100. That's a fumble, which means immediate bad things happen. And it was not good. And it was just the whole thing, like getting the address of where we needed to go was a computer's role, and I failed that. So it took twice as long as it should have. We were trying to disable some cameras that failed. It was just one thing after the other. I think the only thing I succeeded on was breaking into the car so we could leave, and that was it.
Yes, we successfully.
If there's a time when you want to succeed, it's when you're trying to get away.
You know, I understand. It's just bad. It's just really bad. So, So that was my dice in our Cyberpunk Ghost of Arcadia game. We're still plugging away at the character sheet, but we're having a lot of fun. We're just wrapping up a adventure. Hopefully,
I think it's our seventh storyline.
Yeah, hopefully next week we'll wrap it up and have some downtime. So, yeah. Oh, shit, kitty.
Yeah, this is the one making all the noise.
Yes, they usually do. Black cat, stealthy and noisy, all at the same time. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We've been having a lot of fun with that. I'm continuing work on the character sheet. We just got the vehicles and some of the gear added to that. So now it's drop downs and starting to fill that in. And I'm currently wrestling with spells, got like 90% of the work done, and then realized that, none of the damage, fields or damage types populated, because they weren't in the way the document's written. They aren't in the little header sidebar, everything.
Oh,
else
no.
So the damage is only in a damage type is only in the text. So I have to go through 301 spells and parse it out of the text to populate it into the data map so it'll properly display. Yeah, not fun. And it's just like I was so excited because I'm like, I almost had this. Oh, where's the damage? That should be why isn't there damage? Like, yeah, that's not in the data map. Why isn't it in the data map? Let me go look at the PDF. Oh. It's only in the text. Yeah, that's not good. That's a drink.
Oh, okay. So that's a drink. I got to fill everyone in real quick before you go to yours. So because our DM for Ghost of Arcadia's game, he is a overall member of the Frog Pants community. We're going to be intertacular together. So my joke is every time Tet sighs and gets mad and says, damn you, Michael, I'm like, Mike, you owe Tet another drink. Tet's going to be so drunk at Nerdtacular, guys. It's going to be great. Anyways, continue.
Nope. that game. And then just work has been so busy lately that I've had very little free time other than to work on the game. But we are managing to stay current on campaign 4 of Critical Role, which is an achievement of itself, even with them.
Yeah, it is.
Even them taking a week off a month, which they didn't do in February, we're still managing to keep up. And I know some people don't like the new format because not everyone's at the table at the same time, but the three tables and storylines are so distinct and so interesting with the way they approach problems, that like even the combat that just happened, I'm not going to spoil anything, don't worry, at the Schemer's table
so
was
good.
Done so smartly, and it's like had they done a Leroy Jenkins, it might have been a TPK, but they just waited and you know, did some things to reduce the odds that things were going to screw up. And it was just, it was so well done. And I really like how different the three tables are and the characters get along, because essentially the schemer's table is 3.5 arcane characters and a martial character, you know, like Azune, the Luis's character is a sorcerer paladin. So he's martial with sorcerer's abilities, and he's the only like heavy hitter in there. Everyone else is, we have the bard, wizard, and warlock.
Warlock.
Yeah. So it's bard, wizard, warlock, and sorcerer paladin split. It's an interesting group. Like, they can pull off some manipulation that's incredible. It's really fun to watch. So I know it's daunting, but if folks have the time and like just some good, like the world building they're doing,
it's really great. Yeah.
Is really interesting. It's what happens if you kill off the gods of your world? Who fills that power vacuum, and why do your powers, especially like paladins and clerics, why do your powers still work? You know, if you've killed off your gods that your powers supposedly came from, where's that power coming from? So yeah, it's really, really interesting. I love the world building for that. But other than that, I still am working through Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader. I love that. That is such a good game. Just there's so much to do in it, and there's so much exploration and storyline. I really like it. So,
Mew, what have you been up to, my friend?
Oh, all over the place. So in the real world, we went to the Strait of Florida for a bit of a family wedding thing. While we were there, we, you know, ran amok across Central Florida, trying to dodge the traffic. Because if anyone is familiar with how Florida is, the I-4 corridor is one of the most notoriously bad bits of traffic ever. It's you know, name any major highway in California, the 5, the 405, it's that, and then condensed into a smaller area.
That's saying something, because, yeah. Oh boy.
Well, and as you get closer to the tourist traps in Tampa and Orlando, you're now dealing with tourists, you're now dealing with retirees, you're now dealing with all of the snowbirds from New Jersey and New York. Mm-hmm. So it is just this giant grid of people trying to get where they want to go. And yeah, that's so you're trying to find all the ways around it. But yeah, while we were there, we did a little bit of exploring. Mrs. Mew came across an interesting school in her readings. She found out that there are two universities in the United States that currently look after and champion those of different wiring. So those with ADHD, those with autism, nice. Those, like any kind of neurodiversity,
that
those
two
colleges. Yeah. Any kind of neurospicy, they support that, and including they have on-campus housing and all that kind of, like, they're trying to.
Oh.
Yeah. So while we were there, we went and checked out one of the ones. Because one of them is in Lake County, Florida, which is in Central Florida. The other one is up in like Maine, I think. So while we were there, we just checked it out, just, you know, because we were curious about the area. And yeah, it was, you know, it was kind of neat to see this. You know, it's not a huge sprawling campus or anything, but you can tell where the campus is, and you can see the students milling about. And yeah, it was kind of neat to see. You know, so. You know, we got to check that out. So if you know, if anyone is, you know, thinking about that kind of a future for their own children or for themselves,
yeah.
You know, there are a couple of colleges that specialize that. And the one in Florida is called Beacon College. So we checked that out and it seemed interesting. So then other than that, in gaming, probably been focusing on WoW a lot with the WoW raid team. I kind of mentioned it in the WoW raid up that, you know, we managed to get through most of normal. It's more of a getting everyone's gear together, because not everyone has the time, because, you know, we're all adults, you know, we only have so much time to play. So we're trying to get our gear up, get through. And this time around, they're definitely the mechanics are very, very varied. As I mentioned earlier, the very first boss is probably one of the hardest tanking bosses you'll come across, because it's one of those things where you have to coordinate with your co-tank, because it does this annoying thing that it doesn't matter how much hit points, what item level you have, it does a percentage-based hit point reduction that's just will not go away until you either die or the stacks fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's no strong arming through it. There's no solo tanking through this, because that solo tank after 10 stacks is going to be dead. So it definitely, like, from that point on, there was some other, like, it almost felt like every other boss was easier to tank because they didn't have that mechanic.
Yeah,
it'll get easier, of course, as our DPS improves. It doesn't matter what, you know, the healing can't improve any better, because you don't have hit points to heal. There's just no getting around that. Mm-hmm. But I guess at some point, you know, you'll survive a little better, because, you know, 90% of your missing hit point is still huge, like way down the line, and so you might survive a little bit. But not, once you hit 10, you're dead. And that's been a big part of it. I have caught up in Final Fantasy 14, so I'm definitely eager to see where they're going with the story there in 7.5. The new leadership character that they introduced in the later stuff is, you know, I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with that. So,
yeah.
You know, but that's been the majority of that. And just, you know, doing a lot of it's spring. So it's time for a bit of, you know,
pollen.
Cleaning. You know, pollen. Yes. So especially here, we are surrounded with very lovely live oaks, which the rest of the year, lovely. They provide so much shade that the grass around us dies because it can't get enough sun.
Oh, wow. Really?
But it keeps the house and everything much cooler because we have all that natural cover. But then you hit this time of year where everything is covered in green and yellow. Like someone just took a spray paint and just went everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's thick. You know, good luck breathing. Because the proximity is right there. There's no getting around it. But we finally had a nice rainstorm come through, so we think that it's washed away most of it. So we're finally getting past that. So we'll be back to where it's a little nicer, at least until summer when it gets up to the 110s and so.
That's miserable. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is now spring, so it's time for spring cleaning. And we are going to be starting our, you know, purge, donate, sell. Just trying to get rid of whatever we really don't need. Yeah. So that's pretty much been it. And playing with a new toy. We got a Nintendo Switch 2. We were a little late to the party.
Very nice. Yeah.
But, it was kind of a good job reward because one of us is deathly afraid of shots. Like extremely afraid, and we managed to kind of overcome that fear this week.
You know, I don't think we talk about Mrs. Mew this way.
But it was an interesting time. The first two were rough because it was like a boom boom. But like after that happened, and after there was the realization of that was it. Because the thing is shots have happened before with no problem, but we're now at an age where there's awareness. And then suddenly that awareness kicked in saying, I don't like the fact that you're going to be jabbing me with things. But the first two were rough, but then the third one was like, no, I want to watch.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah. It's like something clicked, and it's like, now I'm curious. Like, it didn't hurt anywhere near as bad as I thought it would.
Yeah.
Now I want to watch. And it's
absolutely.
You have to reward that. Like, it's just.
Mm-hmm.
So like the rest of that day, it was like, you know, whatever you want, kid, whatever you want to eat. You know, it's just, you know, we want to give positive responses to big events like that. So
absolutely. And, you know, coming over a phobia.
Yeah.
Is very difficult, especially at his age. No, that's amazing.
Like, yeah, and like in the pat, like, you know, just recently we were, unfortunately, we couldn't get the flu and COVID shot because this fear came out of nowhere. Like, up until that point, no problem, you know, time for it.
Yeah, yeah. Done.
And then suddenly just out of nowhere, just like deathly, like, fear. And, ooh, and we just got us out of nowhere. But yeah, we're finally past that. And so now the whole family gets to now enjoy the new level of gaming. So today I've been playing the Donkey Kong Bonanza and basically pounding everything I can into dust because it's pretty satisfying. You know, it has that kind of setup where almost everything is breakable.
Yeah.
So you can just dig your way through all over the place. And yeah. And then, so that's been fun. And then we got, you know, the new Mario Kart, and Mrs. Mew got the new Pocopia. But
oh, yeah. Rye's talking about getting that.
Hasn't been able to touch it yet because while we were in Florida, she was introduced to Hello Kitty Island Adventure. So,
all right. Yeah.
So
speaking of our guest, one of our guests last show. Anyways.
Well, I was watching her and her friend play it, and it's like a better version of Animal Crossing, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
They took away a lot of the frustrations that were in Animal Crossing when they made that game. So they definitely learn from watching the big player. But yeah, so you know that's and Dreamlight Valley have kept her busy. But
of course.
Yeah. Very soon, and in about a month, actually, someone will be graduating from college.
Yay.
And we will be traveling in person to Arizona and seeing a couple of people, plus a bunch of other people that are there.
Yeah.
And having, you know, a little bit of a celebration because it's a big deal, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yep.
Dibs on your wife on Saturday morning. As long as you all know this, I am kidnapping her and taking her to my very patisserie. She can bring you stuff back, but she's mine. We're going to the patisserie.
Yeah. You have to give her back. I'm rather fond of her, so you.
Okay.
Have to give her
okay.
Back.
All right. It's a really good patisserie. It's really good.
Okay. Okay. I might be able to survive a morning.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah. So yeah. That's what we done and what we're looking forward to.
Awesome.
How about you?
Orca's a little crazy right now. Just because we deal with one of the parts of my new job, I deal with a regulation in or certification in New York called DSF 504, which our certification is due on Wednesday, and we're literally meeting for the second time with our VP Monday to get him to sign off because he's a certifier. So that's been a little crazy. And then like lots of audits and stuff that I'm dealing with, and because I deal with the EMEA and blah, blah, blah. The weird thing is I could talk about my job now. The weird thing is it's not as interesting, but it pays way more. So, yeah. You know, over a decade of financial service, you know, financial intelligence, my mother-in-law is always like, so what's going on at work? And I'm like, I can't say anything because it's a federal offense to me to talk about it. And I was like, what's going on at work? I'm like, well, we have Omelin, we have Seplac, and I can talk about it now. It's just not interesting. But in the fun work stuff, we are 7 weeks from Phoenix Fan Fusion. If you're going to Fan Fusion, of course, come see us at Cat's Eye Curiosity at booth 501. We have our booth back. Yay. I am currently working on Monocles, which is like one of my old favorites. It's a real slow seller, but it's a fun one. And I finally, because I used to get just glass monocles from the craft store, but that craft store has since got out of business. They ran me about $250 each. I could sometimes get them on sale. But I actually have found on Etsy, there's some vendors that sell old optometrist lenses. So I have real ones and they're vintage. So the cool thing is I can still work with them. The bad thing is my price has gone up considerably on them. So then to make it worthwhile, because I am upping the cost, I'm making them really interesting.
Yeah.
So more of your time.
More of my time, but definitely making it worthwhile. I'm having a lot of fun with that. While I'm prepping for con, what I like to do is I like to make 7 pieces a week. So that's kind of my goal right now. Then let's see, in gaming, lots of stuff going on. Of course, Tat has talked about our Ghosts of Arcadia. In our Thursday in-person game, which is actually Kenny is one of our players. My character kind of faced a major milestone because she, backstory, spoiler, she's pretty much a Disney princess, illegitimate daughter of a elven, we say lord, technically like king, who had an affair with his first of his security, who, because they had adventure together. So she's illegitimate, raised in the castle. Her mother was there, her, you know, half brother, who's a legitimate heir, and with a evil stepmother, who is a, we don't know exactly what she is, but we're pretty sure she's a high level caster. When my character was born, a evil shadow thing attacked, killed the cleric that was delivering her. On her 7th birthday, the same thing happened and got her mother. On her 14th birthday, she and her half-brother were together and got her brother. So then at that point, she was taken out of the kingdom and taken to Waterdeep by her mother's best friend, who was the head of the Thieves Guild. So this is why this girl's a thief. So we started the game. She was 19. The character was 19. I'm like, all right, I'm going to make it nice and vague, right? I'm like, you know, so that way the DM could do whatever they want. And they could even do the, oh, it struck 3 times. It's not even an issue. So I made it very vague. The Waterdeep Heights we did a few months ago, that got them to Waterdeep. And her mother's like, her foster mother's like, no, you're staying here until after your birth. So then she kind of had to admit to her friends, oh, by the way, I've been lying to you. This thing is coming. You're more than welcome to leave if you want, because it keeps killing people.
Yeah.
But because they knew it was coming, they rolled a plan, text character book, in the Thieves Guild actually did the hallowed ritual. So that made like the entire, like a 60-foot place in the Thieves Guild, a sacred space. Mm-hmm. And that's permanent.
Until it gets dispelled. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was paid for. We didn't have to pay for that. So like they set up camp, and waited for this thing to happen because they know when it happens. And we could feel this thing walking around the perimeter, basically trying to taunt them, trying to get them to come out. And they made it through sunrise, which is when it, you know, usually it's attacked, you know, like sunrise, light, something affected it. They made it through. They stayed there the remainder of the day. They thought they were fine. They went to bed. Get up the next morning, like there's some hubbub. They go out, and my character's mother's girlfriend, who they got into a huge fight right before, was at the entrance of the Thieves Guild had been drained of all life. So she was coming back to the Thieves Guild, and this thing got her. So it is a breath eater, we found out.
Yeah.
Which is a terrifying monster, and it fits everything that I gave the DM, which was really fun for her to be able to find something that actually fits so perfectly. Speaking of Tet's roles, Tet then, because we just hit 10th level after this encounter, so our cleric had his new spells and his new abilities, and one of which, with a 10th level cleric, is divine intervention, and you roll a percentile dice, and if it rolls under your level or under, your god intervenes.
Yep.
Oh, he first tried to raise dead.
Yeah, but there was no soul to raise.
There was no soul there.
Which is
so
creepy.
That was terrifying. Which is terrifying. So he tried divine intervention. Cam in this game is a very high roller. Very high roller. And he was this time, but you want to be under. Yep. So he rolled a 95 on that divine intervention, which
between
is
between a 0 and 10.
Right. So, yeah.
And that's the only thing that will. That's the only.
Yeah,
thing.
It literally in the description, oddly enough, it literally says the only thing that can return a character until the breath eater is destroyed is divine intervention.
Breath drinker. Sorry.
Breath Drinker. Yes, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a gas. Do you drink a gas?
But one of the things, I mean, this thing's ridiculous because it's
terrifying.
It has resistances to acid, cold, fire, lightning, thunder, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks. It's immune to poison, radiant damage, grappling, paralyzation, petrification, poisoning, prone, or being restrained. And it has 60-foot blind sight on it. It has deep speech and it has telepathy to 120 feet. And the only vulnerability it has to it is necrotic. Like if it
takes, which you would not think.
Right. If it takes radiant damage, it heals itself. Like, so my cleric, who 95% of what he does is pure radiant damage, would have just been healing this thing had we actually attacked it. We're so good. We're so lucky we didn't attack it.
Hmm. Yeah. It's a CR-17 monster. It's insane.
Yeah.
And then we have started our new Down Darker Trails campaign, which takes place in 1867. We're just starting with that. It's a lot. It's a Call of Cthulhu campaign, so it's very investigation heavy. And basically we are dealing with multiple people who have been killed by supposedly a Lugaroo, but we're under the impression that it actually is somebody using that legend. We're dealing with the post-antebellum Louisiana and all the politics that goes on there. And I am playing a actual medical doctor in the 1860s, female medical doctor, because there were schools, very few, but like I think three in the U.S. Cam is playing. What's the technical?
It is. He's a Freedmen's Bureau member, so he's a lawman from the Freedmen's Bureau.
Yeah, so basically, so they're investigating land claims and all that, and which is what a lot of this is. We're pretty sure there's smuggling and there's land claims and there's lots of great stuff going on. So, yeah, I think we're only five sessions in on that one.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that is about it. Chat room, please feel free to throw some titles at us or repost any of the delightful things you've said, because there definitely were some things I saw that were title worthy while we're chatting. I want to thank the chat room. I want to thank my co-host for joining us tonight. And dealing with the all the misfires before the show. If you guys aren't in the chat room or watching us live as this is going on, there was a reason why we were about 10 minutes late, and half of that was starting over three times because we were being ridiculous.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little. It's good.
And I had to put Gusty's title back because someone deleted a title at the bottom of the notes.
I thought that was a leftover. I'm sorry. Okay, I apologize for editing.
Nope, that was a Gusty special. So,
Gusty, did you sneak it on her notes?
No, she put it in the, when she did the updates. She said I might not be there, so here's a pre-show title. So,
got it. Yes. All right.
Yep, Windrunner Family Adventures.
Nice.
Yeah, that is the current storyline for good or ill.
Yeah. Yeah, let's bring together all the elves. Never mind the other army of players mm-hmm. that are sitting over here waiting to help you. No, we need to go grab the elves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you know, whatever. Anyway. If you have any questions or comments about the show, you can email us at podcast@aie-guild.org. Ooh, and it went away. Ooh, back here. You can find us at the AIE Discord and on Blue Sky if you look for aiepodcast.bsky.social. We record live with video once a month, thereabouts, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can join the chat room and play along with us at our website. It is aiegill.org, and then look for the podcast live stream. You can look for the link in our to our Discord server there as well. And if you're looking for past episodes of our silliness, you can find them on YouTube. Look for the AIE podcast. Our theme was composed by the amazing Andrew Allen. Follow him at Keys with Soul.
And if we had any member segments, we would play them right here. Just a reminder, if you want to send in a member segment, 90 to 120 seconds, and we'll put it at the end of the show.
So side note, feel free to send us your raid wrap-ups. We do try to post or do the show once a month. We try to do it every, 4 weeks. So feel free to send those in to us. We definitely want to know what's going on in the different raid groups and AIE, and not just in WoW. If you want to give us an update on what's going on in any, what you would consider a raid group, please. That's, we love to community. We love to talk about community, and we really want to hear from you all.
Yep.
All right. So that is my spiel. Next time, we'll be talking about somebody about something. In about 4 weeks. Unless that's when... No. You'll be there the week after. Anyways. So until then, AIE, this is Makala.
This is Mukau.
This is Tetsemi.
And this has been the AIE Podcast.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.